1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1.
I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
St. Paul is encouraging Timothy. He said, I exhort you therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, I exhort you, I encourage you to do this. What he's encouraging? He wants Timothy's prayer life be strong. There are many people today, believers, do not have a prayer life. People can read the Bible, they can go to church, but the prayer time when you sit for the prayer, your phone will ring, or while praying you'll think something you want to do, and it will come to your mind, and then you give up the prayer and start doing what you wanted to do. So the devil doesn't want you to pray. Prayer is talking to God, like a two-way conversation. And people do not know how to pray. Once you are born again, child of God, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and Spirit of Christ is living in you. So once you have the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ, you are tuned to God. And when you have the Holy Spirit, that is plus. That means you are completely lifted to heaven, and you are sitting in heavenly places and having conversation with God. Very few people have this kind of experience. St. Paul is encouraging Timothy, because Timothy is a young man. Maybe when you are young in the ministry, you have some kind of fear, some kind of thought that people like me or not. If I'm young, people will respect me or what? That's what people think. But the respect doesn't come with the gray hair. Respect doesn't come in the old age. Respect comes when you are close to God and when you are dedicated to the Lord. And people see your life in Christ. They will respect you. They will love you. When I was young, I started my ministry very young. And when I was in the church, there were so many believers older than me. They were 35, 45, 75, 85. And those kind of believers we had. And my pastor was an old man, but he always will take me wherever he goes for prayer. And even though he is sick, he will tell Brother Peter, please put your hand on my stomach and pray for me. So I was honored to do the service like this. And there were other ministers came before me, like 10 years in the ministry, 20 years in ministry, 18 years in the ministry. And I was in the ministry like 6 months, dedicated my life. But when I was a believer, I was almost like a worker. When I was a believer, every Sunday service I never missed. Every Bible study I never missed. Every prayer meeting I never missed. Every open air meeting I never missed. So I was completely dedicated before I went to the service. When I was almost 6 months in the service, pastor came in the night time and whispered in my ears, tomorrow you are going to bring the message. When I heard that, I was excited, but at the same time, I was afraid. Afraid of all these big believers and workers sitting there. What they will be thinking. This man came with 6 months, and pastor is elevating him to preaching in this church. And so, whole night, I could hardly sleep, preparing the message. And when I preached, and there was one person came to me after service. Do you know, Brother Peter, when you preached, you use 102 verses in your preaching. St. Paul is telling Timothy, you need a prayer life. And I'll tell you how to pray. He's trying to say, humble yourself first in the sight of God. Be fearful in the sight of God. And when you're praying, pray humbly. Not like with a demand. You request. Humbly request. And with a fearful heart, loving heart, you talk to God. You don't demand anything. So he is saying, when you're praying, pray with the supplications and prayers and intercession. When you're praying, don't pray for you first. Pray for others first. I have heard some people say, Lord, I pray for me, my wife, my children, my dog. Amen. That's not the prayer. When you start sitting in the sight of God, first think, are you worthy to pray? And when you are not worthy to pray, say, start thanking God. Before you can pray anything, start praising God. Start thinking what God has done for you. Start thinking how much God loves you. And start praising God. And then you start praying for others. When you say intercession, you're praying for others. If you want to think about your family members, think about them. What they need. What is their desire. What they want from God. And you start praying. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughter. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your wife. Pray for your brothers. Pray for your relatives. Pray for your friends. Pray for your church members. When you sit in a prayer, visualize how many people I have in my church. Take their name by name, and start praying. So people might be thinking, what are you praying for 2 hours? Or what are you praying for 1 hour? When you sit in the sight of God, think about each and every person you know. Sometimes some people you don't like. Pray to change their life. Pray that, Lord, I don't want that person's behavior. I want that person to change. God will do miracles. I'm going to tell you this today. What you do when you go home, think about how many people you want to pray to get saved. Make a list of them. Bring it to church. And I'll take you to my home. And I'll try to pray for each and every person every day. You will be surprised what God can do. Just like Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to pray, not only praying, intercedes, do intercession for other people. You like them or you don't like them. If you don't like them, say, I don't want to pray for that person. I hate that person. God doesn't want that. You say, Lord, I don't like this person, but give me grace to love this person. I can only love this person through you. My mind hates that person. And whatever you don't like about that person, tell God and start praying. God will start changing that person. I have seen people who try to kill me. I start praying for them. And even they had cancer or some disease, and I prayed for them. And God changed their life. And some of them I baptized. Point I'm making, he says, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, Paul didn't know what are the people in his church, but he says in generally, pray for all people, everybody. And then he starts in second verse.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Then he starts saying, if you want to start praying, pray for all men, pray for kings. Those days there were no presidents, no vice presidents, only kings. People don't like kings. Why do you know? King has authority. King has power. Whatever king says is done. People do not want king. God is our king. But the children of Israel start saying, we want king. The heathen people has king, we want king. God says, I'm your king. Samuel says, you don't need a king. They said, we want a king. And that's what God gave the first king, King Saul. But I don't have time to talk about those kings. But here we saying, today somebody says we don't have kings, we have presidents. And some country, Muslim country, still they have kings. We are praying for our president. But the word of God says, pray for your president. Pray for your kings. Tell you why he's saying this. He said, for the kings and for all that are in authorities, thinking about police officers, mayor, then the judges, governors, and then the president, all the congressmen, all the senators, and all the people, pray for them. And why he's saying pray? He said that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honor. If you have a good president, if you have a good governor, if you have a good mayor, if you have a good police officers, and we start praying for them, we will have peace in our country, our city. We should not be fighting against our officers, and police officer stops you. You should be humble enough to salute him and say, sir, what did I do? If he tells you something you did wrong, say, I'm sorry. Or if you give me any ticket, I'll pay for it. Humbly, that person might be let you go. But if you start running, and he will start chasing you, and sometimes you might be get killed for no reason. So that's what the word of God is saying. We should be giving respect to higher authorities. Verse 3.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
What is good? Praying for all people, praying for the king and all the higher authorities. He says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. That means God approved it. When you're praying for others, including the higher authorities, the authority you don't like, you pray for those people and he said that is acceptable. God likes that. God honors that. And God thinks when you start praying for the whole country, not only our country, start praying for other countries. Start praying for Muslim country. Start praying for Russia. I was praying for Russia, Lord, open the door for Russia. And when the door opened, I said, I want to go and preach. Maybe that door will close someday. And I went there. And then I start praying for China. And now China opening the door. One of these days, I like to go to China. And I start praying for Muslim country. And I said, I'm not afraid. If I get a chance, I'll go to Muslim country to preach the gospel. And so God is opening new doors. And so the many people are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will be surprised. You are not hearing in the news in America, but many Muslims are getting saved today than ever before. Many Muslims coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Recently we heard one person got saved, Iran, and he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and started reading the Bible. And they start threatening him to kill him and destroy him. And then I heard some of the group of people in Pakistan, they were praying, and then these Al-Qaeda people gathered together and took him to the mountain. And they said, we are going to kill you. And these people start praising and praying to God. And those people had no power to kill them. They wanted to kill them. They could not kill. And then somebody interviewing them, what happened? They said, we were just praising God and praying. And we were ready to go to heaven. Very few people come courageously reading Bible and I want to be baptized. But the courageous thing in the 21st century, baptizing Muslim in front of the TV camera, it has to have courage. So point I'm making, it takes courage, it takes God's power to do those things. Not to be afraid of people. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28.
Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
So what he's trying to say, do not afraid of the people who are trying to kill your body. Body is not the real person. Who is the real person? Inside, inner man. That's the real person. And when we die, the real man goes to heaven. Soul and spirit. So soul and spirit together goes to heaven. So here we see, he says, only one person you fear, that's God. God has power to destroy your soul and your body in hell. So we are not afraid of anybody. So you should be courageous to praying for all people. Now here is saying, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So God wants, our Savior, Jesus Christ, wants you to pray for others and give respect to higher authorities. Read the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Very clear, very simple. He says God has put people in authority. Every person you see in authority, God put it there. Your pastor, or your governor, or your our president. God has put them there. And he said, if you reject their authority, what are you doing? You're rejecting God's authority. And so we have to be praying for those people. You like them, or you don't like them. Okay, Hebrews 13:7.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God.
Brings you the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. They might be pastor, they might be evangelist, they might be co-workers. Give respect to them because they're concerned about your souls. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?
Now here he says, who will have all men to be saved? Who is that? God. God wants all people to be saved. And there are doctrine going around. They said only certain people God will choose and certain people will go to hell. That is not the God's will. God does not want anyone to be lost, anyone to go to hell. He always says, here is the life, here is the death, choose life. He never said choose death. So God always wants us to be saved and to be in his sight. He says, God wants everyone to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? If somebody asks you, what is the truth? What do you say? Jesus is the truth. If you want to know the truth, Jesus is the truth. I say, what Jesus Christ is telling the truth? Jesus Christ is telling, I have a Father. That's the truth. I came from heaven. That's the truth. I want to take you to heaven. That's the truth. I came here to save you. That's the truth. I gave my life for you. That's the truth. And I want to take you wherever I am. That's the truth. Without Jesus, there is no truth. Without Jesus, there is a lie, and that's a lie comes from the devil. So he says, every person has to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, if the person do not want the truth, they cannot get saved. Do you know that? If you come and tell them, you know, I want you to live a godly life or live a good life. What's wrong with me? I'm okay. Whatever I'm doing is fine. And so there is no God, there is no truth to those people. So we have to go and tell these people there is a God, and that's a true God. There are false gods all over the world. And if you follow the truth, truth will set you free and you will be free. Now somebody says, am I in bondage? Yes. You say, what kind of bondage you have? Let me tell you. First of all, the biggest bondage you have, the death. Every person is bound by death. Now somebody says, how about Christian? Don't they die? No, we don't die. What Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and what? I am the life. He said, if you believe in me, you will never die. And if you die, you will come to life again. So people said Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago and many people died. But the one day will come, when Jesus comes, just think that day is today. We don't have to die. We will be transformed. That word will come true that day. The day Jesus comes, he says, you do not have to die. Because I am the resurrection and I am the life. If Jesus comes today, he comes now, we don't have to die, we'll be transformed. And the dead in Christ will rise again. That is the truth. Who said it? Jesus said it. I believe it. But the devil doesn't want us to believe these things. But the word of God says, this is the will of God, that each and every person should receive Jesus Christ. Receive the truth. And that truth will make us free from sickness, disease, financial problem, marriage problem, children problem, drug problem, and the greatest problem is a death problem. We are bound by death. Death is hanging over the mankind if you are not born again. But if you are born again, you are free. Death cannot swallow you. So God wants us to be praying, to loving one another, and this is the will of God, that everyone should come to the knowledge of God. Once we know the truth, we are not going to be doing what you used to do before. Verse 5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
Now he's saying there is only one God. Why he's saying? Because Timothy is living in the midst of heathen people. There are so many gods. And some Christian people today, they have no courage. If they meet a Hindu man, and if he's worshipping Hindu God, they will not have courage to tell him, your God is not a real God. Or somebody comes to you, a Buddhist person, you have no courage to tell him, your God is not a real God. Or if somebody comes to any religious person, you have no courage to tell him. Why? Do you know why? There are two things. One thing, you are afraid of them. Second thing, you don't want to embarrass them. And if you have friendship with them, you don't want those people to be your enemy. So you just don't say anything. If I see somebody, I don't care if they hate me or they love me, I will tell them about Jesus. Paul is telling Timothy, there is only one God. What does it mean? Tell everybody, there is only one God. And you want to go to that God, you need a mediator. Means somebody has to show the way where the God is. What Jesus Christ says. Just read. You know these words. John chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
I am the way to heaven. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody knows Father. I came from the Father. You want to go to Father? Come by me. Because you are a child of God. Jesus Christ is alive. You go to Jesus direct. So when you have a problem, go direct to Jesus. There is only one God. And one Savior, one Mediator is Jesus. Our Mediator is Jesus. When you have a problem, don't call Pastor Peter. First call Jesus. Because Bible says two people agree, then God will hear the prayer. Our Mediator is Jesus. So you know how you pray? Just listen. You're praying to the Father, and you're praying in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot just pray to Father and put the Jesus Christ aside. Here it says, there is one Mediator. You cannot go direct to God. God doesn't recognize you. He only recognizes you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Each and every person who believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that person is sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. When Father sees you through his Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, then he says, you are righteous. You are a holy man. Then you could pray. That's why we have to pray prayer in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. If you don't say Jesus' name I pray, your prayer doesn't go to God. When you finish prayer, you said, Amen, Jesus' name, Amen. Don't say, just praise the Lord. So point I'm making, our prayer has to go through the Mediator, Jesus Christ. If you don't go through Jesus, your prayer will not be answered. There's only one God, but our one God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. So when we're praying to God the Father, through the God the Son, by the help of the Holy Spirit helps you to how to pray. You see in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. So we pray by the help of the Holy Spirit, praying through the name of Jesus Christ, praying to the Father. And when you finish the prayer, you say, in the name of Jesus, Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the Mediator, and without Jesus Christ, you cannot reach God. Okay, let's go to the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6.
Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Now, who is that? He said Jesus. He gave ransom for all men. That means we were supposed to die. But he paid the penalty for us. And he paid the penalty by his blood. That's why Peter says, now you are not purchased by the silver and gold. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He said, but you are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul says that Jesus Christ has purchased you with his precious blood. So you are not yours, you belong to God. So he says, glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. Everything is belong to God. And so he says, he paid the penalty. He purchased you with his precious blood. And so that is a good testimony to the whole world. My God, the Son of God, came into this world. He died for me. He rose again. He went to heaven. And he's coming back to take me home and belong to him. Blessed hope we have. Verse 7.
Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity.
St. Paul is a little bit talking about himself. People say, people brag. This is the testimony he's saying. He says, I am ordained a preacher. Some people are not even ordained and doing the Lord's work. That's not the will of God. Some people just start preaching and get into the ministry and say, now I'm a pastor. Doesn't work that way. You have to be ordained by God first and then ordained by church. And then you can serve the Lord. And he says, I'm an ordained preacher and apostle. Now somebody say, what is the difference between a preacher and apostle? Apostle is a leader. God had chosen him as a leader. There are followers and there are leaders. And some people, they will never be pastors, even though they're 50, 60 years live in the church. They will be always members. But there are some people, they are chosen by God. They have the leadership. And so some of the leaders, some of the followers. And so he says, God has chosen me as a leader. And the leader's job is what? They plant the churches. They ordain other ministers. And other ministers listen to the higher authorities. So he is saying, I'm not an ordinary man. And he says, when I'm speaking, I speak the truth in Christ. So he says, whatever I'm teaching, whatever I'm preaching, whatever I'm saying, I'm not lying, I'm telling the truth in Christ. And a teacher of the Gentiles in faith, and truly he's saying, I want to tell you, especially God has chosen me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now he was a Jewish man, and he's supposed to go to his own people, and he did. Just like Jesus Christ went to his own, and St. John chapter 1 verse 11, he says, he went to his own and his own received him not. Paul did the same. What God has called me and I'm not doing it. He said, I'm shaking the dust of my clothes. Now I'm not going to go to Jewish people, I'm going to Gentiles. That's my calling. First church was prejudiced about Gentiles. They didn't want Gentiles coming to their Christianity. First Cornelius got saved and Peter went to preach. They didn't like it. And they start asking Peter, why did you went to Gentiles? Why did you baptize them? Why did you eat with them? And they start fighting with Peter. Peter says, listen, I didn't know anything about it. I saw a vision. And God showed me all kinds of unclean animals. And he said, get up and eat. And I said, Lord, I didn't eat these things. I don't need it. Three times this happened. Eat anything. Eat lizard. Eat snake. Eat scorpion. That's what God was telling him. No. He saw some few people standing outside, Gentiles, telling, please come. Cornelius was praying and he saw the vision. And God told him to call Peter. Then that vision came to Peter. Oh, these filthy animals and unclean animals, I was thinking, I don't want to eat. And God was saying, I sanctified them. That means the Gentiles, he was thinking, no, those Gentiles people, they were thinking like dogs. You remember when the lady came to Jesus Christ, says, my daughter is sick. What Jesus Christ says, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. People thought thinking Jesus Christ was a bad person, saying to that lady, you people are dogs. But he was telling her indirectly, this is what the Israel people are thinking about you. They're thinking that you are dogs. So I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But that lady was not offended because she used to hear this. But that lady says, Master, you are true saying this. We are like dogs. But don't you think when the master eats something on the table and some crumbs falls on the ground and the puppy can eat those crumbs? Consider me like one of the puppy. So Jesus said, you have great faith. Go, your daughter is healed. Jesus was not prejudiced. He was telling how other people are treating you. Gentiles in those days were treated like dogs. Today also, you know, the Muslims saying to the Israeli people, you are pigs and dogs. This is what the mentality people had. Other religious people are bad and our religion is good. But St. Paul saying, God has called me for Gentiles. I'm not prejudiced about any language, any denomination, any color, any country. If I do, I cannot be servant of God. I love everybody. I want to bring everybody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's why he's saying, I'm going to Gentiles. And so he says, God has called me and he has given me that kind of faith to go to Gentiles. And he said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying this by hypocrisy. Verse 8.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Now here, Men praying, he said, lift up your hands and pray. Let's read verse 9.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
Okay, now when he's saying this, some of the ladies get offended. But he's saying, you know, modest apparel. It says modest. Everything should be modest. Do you know the prostitute? Look at their dress. What is the difference between prostitute and the regular person? You can see, looking at them, their makeup, their dress, their jewelry, their shining clothes or whatever, or the movie stars. Looking at them, you know there's something different about these people. But the people who are godly, they don't want to attract people to themselves. Godly woman will not say, did you look at this jewelry? I bought $5,000 for this. Some of the Indians, they do. You go to Indian churches, 10,000, 5,000, 20,000 jewelry on their bodies to show. I said, thank God, I don't have to impress anybody. You should not be making yourself beautiful outwardly. Inside beauty. Verse 10. Now this is all complicated, so don't fight with me. What Paul is saying, I'm telling you. Okay.
But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Now he's saying, godly woman, do some godly thing and do some good works. That will make her shine. And then he said, let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. That people don't like it. So what does it mean, what Paul is trying to say? He's trying to tell the woman, be subject to your husband. Wife should be subject to her own husband. He's not saying wife should be subject to any man. Husband. And learn silently, because in those days, the ladies were not educated. Today also, these Muslim people do not want their daughters to study. And so the Jewish people did not want their daughters to study. Only men used to study. Now just think that Paul is preaching, and the husband and wife sitting, and those days, husband and wife was not sitting together. Husband sits right hand, the wife sits left hand. And so if Paul says something from the Bible and lady didn't understand, she say, husband, what are you saying? Could you explain to me? I didn't understand what Paul is saying. Paul was saying, be silent, go home, then ask your husband. Today also, some wives and husband, they sit together and pastor is preaching and they whisper. And pastor is talking on one subject, and they keep on talking about 10 minutes about some other things. So that's what the Paul was saying. When you go into church, you listen to the word of God. And he says, the ladies should be subject to their own husband. Verse 12.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Is he against ladies? No. Paul is not against women. How do you know? Let me give the words and then I'll come back. Read the Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 to 29.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Now here it says, male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. St. Paul is saying. So why is he saying here different and here he's saying different? Is he lying? He says, I don't lie. I'm telling the truth. That's what he says in this chapter. So what he's trying to say, woman has a job to do. You train your children. You come to church. You can take Sunday school. You can encourage ladies in the word of God. If you're an elderly woman, tell the younger woman how to be married woman. If she has some questions, help to her. And that's the kind of ministry the lady is supposed to do. So he's saying, you cannot be authority over your husband. There are lady pastors today, and the husband is an assistant pastor. That is not from the Lord. You want to be pastor with equally to your husband? Give the husband a head, and you be helpmate. But today, the ladies are young ladies being a pastor and doing pastor job, falling in sin, getting married, getting divorced, being a pastor again, is not the Lord's work. Lord wants husband to be pastor, lady be assisting husband. That's what Paul is trying to say. Now, one more verse and I'm going to finish. Read the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Given to us the ministry. Us means what? Man and woman. If you are born again, child of God, you have ministry. And what ministry?
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Okay, the word of reconciliation is committed to us, the man and woman. We have to do that. Verse 20.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
See, now then, we are ambassador. Not I, we. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ambassador for Christ. What does it mean? You can take the gospel to the whole world. You are witness. All the ladies and men should be witnessing about Christ around the world. Okay, go back to the Timothy. We're going to finish three verses. 13, 14, and 15.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Okay, so St. Paul is saying, God created man first, means woman came out of man. So the woman has to have some respect for man. So we are belong to God, and God is in charge. That the woman came out of man, and that God has created us in him, husband and wife becomes one flesh, right? And then they became bring the children into this world. So there is a unity, togetherness. In Christ, what we have? Man and woman equal. Not less, not more. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. We are not here to compete with each other, but we want to show the world that Christianity is the one of the best religion in the world. So anyone can come to the Christian faith, and their husbands will treat them as the child of God, and together they will be ministering to the souls. So Lord Jesus, let there be unity, love, togetherness, and let's together we win souls for Christ. There should not be divisions among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.